Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Steve Vaughn in studio as we celebrate 4th of July 2018. Man, it's been 247 years?
Yeah.
248 years?
Something like that,
since the Declaration of Independence provided July 4th, 1776. And this nation has been singularly blessed by God over these years, and we're thankful for God blessing a nation. We have been the most prosperous nation in the world over a period of 125 years. That is no longer the case as of, I believe, 2011. China has displaced America as the most profitable economy in the world. But America was the top-notch economic power force in the world over a period of some 120 years. America has enjoyed tremendous freedoms over all of these years. America has been the nation most likely to support a six-day creation. Some 40% of Americans still believe that God made man some 6,000 years ago. And America is the nation that has provided the most missionaries to foreign nations over a number of years. America is the largest nation promoting a biblical worldview and a biblical view of creation, as well as home education, Christian education. No other nation comes close to America in terms of its Christian influence over these some 200 some years. So we're appreciative of what God has done for this nation over all these years. Give God the glory. Take some time to thank the Lord for his mercies upon this nation. And could God have mercy upon America again? That's the question on this edition of the program.
That's a good question.
Steve, I have to say, I'd be surprised. You know, and God surprises us with his mercies. They're new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. But I would be surprised if God had mercy on this country.
Yeah, with all the things that we've done over the last, you know, since Roe v. Wade and Obergefell and all of that, I'm surprised he's let this country continue even today. It's pretty amazing. God is having mercy right now.
Well, I don't want to become a Jonah and sit there under my little plant and just watch the fireworks. I think that's what Jonah wanted. He was rather disappointed that God did not bring judgment against Nineveh. But again, would God have mercy upon this nation? He's already had mercy on this nation the last couple of months. Of course, there's Kennedy's retirement. We'll speak of that in just a moment. But God has been kind to Christians with two Supreme Court decisions that indicate a push away of the persecution of Christians for now. The Stutzman case and the Phillips case here in Denver. It's amazing what God has done to push back on the persecution that seemed to be inevitable following the Obergefell decision of 2015.
Yeah, and it was a great surprise. Nobody was really sure what was going to happen, and Kennedy was certainly the swing vote on those two decisions, but he's a First Amendment kind of guy, which was good. He unfortunately is very pro-homosexual as well.
Yeah, he is somewhat of a First Amendment guy, but when it comes to abortion and homosexuality, he has proven himself to be on the wrong side many, many, many times. So it was a little bit of a surprise to me. Apparently, he's somewhat of a friend of Gorsuch. Apparently, Gorsuch had worked with him in the past, so maybe Gorsuch had some influence upon him. Who knows? But certainly God had influence upon him. The heart of the Supreme Court Justice of the United States is in the hand of God. And as the rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he wills. And that's exactly what he did with Justice Kennedy. But when it comes to the future of this nation, I think the Democrats are wrong. The Republicans are wrong. We don't want to make America great again. We want to make America humble again. I want to get one of those red hats that says, make America humble again.
Yeah.
I would love to get one of those hats. I'm not sure if they market them anywhere. I looked online, could not find a red hat anywhere with the slogan, make America humble again. I don't see any of that. America's pride is the problem. America's pride is the problem, as signified by the State of the Union address provided some 6 months ago. Pride mentioned multiple times. The goal of the President of the United States is to make America proud again. And our goal, however, is to make America humble again. And the last call for repentance in this nation occurred 3 months before the Battle of Gettysburg. It was the U.S. Senate that proposed a call for a day of prayer and fasting and repentance. And the word repentance was used. And, of course, repentance is a word not really appreciated by evangelical Christians, let alone the President of the United States. So we haven't seen anything of a call for repentance since Gettysburg. And as you know, God brought something of his mercy to the nation in allowing the nation to reconfigure itself and to provide something of a haven of freedom for millions upon millions of people over the last 150 years. Now, sadly, America has become a large tyranny. America has given way to the sins of homosexuality and abortion and so forth. So America has taken the wrong direction. But America did humble itself at points during the Civil War, and that was the last point at which the nation humbled itself, at least in my read of American history. In Jonah chapter 3, the word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Wouldn't that be wonderful if the president of the United States did that?
Yeah, but we've got a president who, when asked, said he could not think of anything that he needed to ask God for forgiveness for.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I remember that, yes. And I don't think he's corrected that misconception since he gave that profession something like 2 to 3 years ago. Anyway, the word reached the king of Nineveh. He rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, sat in ashes, and he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. Well, we would look forward to a proclamation like that on this July 4th, 2018. Haven't seen it yet, but we're still waiting. Be back in just a moment. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith. And it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case, a historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. Welcome back to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Steve Vaughn also in the studio today as we consider the future of this nation. This nation has a tremendous window of opportunity before us. In fact, we probably face the best opportunity since 1980 when Ronald Reagan was elected as President of the United States. So a tremendous opportunity. The best opportunity in a lifetime faces us right now. Share that with your children as they study American history, as they play a part in American history. Be sure your children understand that now is the greatest opportunity in this nation's history for a great turnaround. But will a turnaround happen? Steve, that's the question that keeps coming back to me. We have a window of opportunity before us, no question about it. As good of an opportunity as Josiah faced in his generation back when King Josiah headed up the land of Judah, and as well as Manasseh and others, had an opportunity for repentance and a redirection for the nation. But here's the problem, Steve, that faces me again and again. Yes, we have a Republican as the leader of this nation. Yes, we have some good directions taken by the Supreme Court of the United States, more of kicking the can of persecution down the road a bit. There has not been a definitive case made against the persecution of Christians by the Supreme Court of the United States. However, they have kicked the can down the road for the Stutzmans and the Phillips of the world, so we're thankful for that. But here's the thing that bothers me. The moral indices of the nation are worse than ever before. That's the Gallup poll that we treated a couple of weeks ago. The Gallup comes out on an annual basis and has since 2002 on the moral condition of the nation. Very interesting. I don't think Gallup is a Christian organization, but it is likes to maintain something of a test of the pulse of the moral condition of the nation from time to time. So the moral indices of the nation worse than ever before. When Gallup poll asked Americans to rate the moral condition of the nation, that is, they asked Americans to say, how do you think you're doing? 52% of Americans were very or somewhat dissatisfied with the moral condition of the nation in 2002. Now it's 71%. That's about 20% worse condition than we were in somewhat 15 years ago. So now 71% of Americans very or somewhat dissatisfied with the moral condition of the nation, up from 52% back in 2002. So America is pretty much in the lowest and most degraded state the nation has ever seen. And yet 70% of Americans favor homosexuality way more. Americans approve of fornication, homosexuality, and pornography than they did 8 years ago. So Americans are doing far, far, far worse than they were 8 years ago. And that has not changed. In fact, just the last year, we've seen another serious decline in the area of Americans' perceptions of adultery and pornography. So again, Americans are way more immoral than they were last year. Americans are way more immoral than they were 12 years ago. And their definition of morality, of course, is wrong. When asked what is the most pressing moral problem of the day, it's, well, Americans aren't tolerant enough. Americans aren't kind enough to serial killers and adulterers. Americans aren't kind enough to those people next door that are committing fornication. So that's the real concern. Nobody really wants to say the real problem with America is Americans are rebelled against God and his holy law. We don't get that today.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if you ask those same people, what do you think of your own moral condition? I would think that they would all say, well, I'm fine. It's everybody else that's the problem. And that's why I think God said that it's his people that needs to humble themselves and pray. It's not Josiah who's going to lead us.
Yeah.
And as we saw, I mean, everybody was excited about getting back to the temple and the temple and the temple and taking down the high places. But after Josiah was dead, they went downhill really fast. And so it's got to be the people of God who humbles themselves and prays and asks for forgiveness for their own sins, not for the sins of everybody else.
That's right. That's right. And, of course, American Christians, there's almost zero difference between – in fact, there is 0% difference between the pornography habits of those attending church and those who do not attend church. There's zero, zero, zero. There was zero, zilch, zit, nothing. No statistically significant difference between the pornography habits of those within the church and those outside of the church. As long as that's the case, my friends, we've got a ways to go. And until we see something of a mourning in the churches, unless we see a weeping and a wailing, if we don't hear that, if we can't hear weeping and wailing coming out of churches for their sins, if people aren't on the ground, not slain in the spirit by some hokey little charismatic thing. No. I'm talking about on the ground, mourning and weeping and wailing over sin. There needs to be a grieving and a grieving and a grieving, sackcloth and ashes, beginning in the churches. And if that's not the case, don't expect Josiah, Manasseh, or Trump to accomplish anything in Washington, D.C. The effect of the gospel needs to change lives. And that's not happening. You know, the bottom line is you're not going to change America by legislating this or that in Washington, D.C. on homosexuality, fornication, or anything else, unless and until there is an effect of the gospel preaching that convicts sinners of their sins and causes them to run to Jesus and to receive his atoning sacrifice on that cross for their sins. Unless that happens, there's not going to be any shift whatsoever at this nation's capital, and there won't be a significant shift in policy at this nation's capital, and there cannot be anything of a relaxation of the judgment of God upon this nation. I just simply can't see it. So the preserving salt of Christians has decreased substantially. It's obvious. The wickedness ratio of Americans is extremely high. It's much higher than it's ever been, according to Gallup. So, again, America is the most immoral nation it has ever been in terms of its perspectives on adultery, fornication, pornography, homosexuality, and so forth. And the wickedness ratio of Americans has got to be as high as the wickedness ratio of North Koreans and Chinese. This idea that America is doing way, way, way better than North Koreans and Chinese, man, I think that's the problem. America needs to humble itself and realize we are the scum of the earth. This nation has become the very scum of the earth. And until we repent and turn to God through his son, Jesus Christ, for his salvation that can only come through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this nation is doomed. So it is. We do have a window of opportunity for national repentance. Trump has been something of a respite, but no thanks to the electorate. They did not vote for Trump because he was pro-life. They voted for him because he was a fornicator and because he was anti-immigration. I mean, those are hard words. Mm-hmm. I understand those are hard words, but let's face it. The average American voting for Trump did not vote for Trump because he was pro-life. They voted for him because he was a successful businessman and he seemed to get away with a lot of fornication, at least according to his own admission in his biographies. And he is anti-immigration. He wanted a wall. That's why they voted for him. It wasn't for principle. It wasn't based upon any kind of a desire to bring about a massive repentance over the sins that God finds egregious.
Yeah, it's either that, and which I would agree wholeheartedly with that, but it's also, it was a protest vote. They were voting against someone else rather than voting for.
Yeah.
So we had nobody to vote for, so we voted against Hillary. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, coming into this next era of America, we have a decision that will be made shortly by the President of the United States, and that is the appointment that will replace Justice Kennedy and the swing vote on the Supreme Court of the United States. And that is going to be interesting. Now, again, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he will turn it whithersoever he will. Granted, God is sovereign, but this is going to be interesting. CNN legal analyst Jeffrey Tobin, he has posited that abortion will be illegal in 20 states within 18 months in the wake of Kennedy's retirement.
Wow. Hopefully it'll be 50 states here pretty soon. That'd
be
great.
I don't think that's going to happen. There's a division, a severe division right now in America. I believe it was Oregon that approved of government funding of all abortions in that state. Washington, California, they've moved more pro-abort. They have actually, states like California have pushed to require pro-life pregnancy centers to advertise for abortion. So that kind of thing is being advocated strongly by the left coast and by the more liberal states. And indeed, there is a division between states right now. America is a nation divided against itself. As much so, maybe more so than the period around the Civil War. Indeed, America is split on the killing of innocent people. America was at one time split on the issue of enslaving innocent people. Now, America is split on the issue of killing innocent people. Now, I posit the question, which is more serious in your mind?
I would say killing innocent people.
The killing of innocent people
yeah.
is even worse than the enslaving of innocent people. They're both egregious sins, yes. But friends, we are looking at a nation divided against itself big time right now. Now, making no mistake about it, right now we've entered the Battle of Gettysburg in the history of abortion, at least on the political level, my friends. The left is in full panic mode on this one. Planned Parenthood is saying, quote, abortion is on the line right now. So, you know, America is at a moment of significant shift right now. What direction will America take as it meets this important crossroads in the history of the country? We'll see. Well, it turns out Gorsuch, the appointment of Gorsuch was not a swing vote for the Supreme Court. It wasn't. Kennedy was a swing vote.
Yeah. Gorsuch was a replacement vote.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Gorsuch might have been as good as Scalia.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think it's very possible he was. I'm not sure. Time will tell. Gorsuch was just a replacement for Scalia. So no big deal as far as the U.S. Senate was concerned. So, of course, the liberal senators, the liberal Republican senators, and a few Democrats threw a vote at Gorsuch. They said, okay, we're going to replace the Republican appointee. We'll do it. This is not a Gorsuch moment in the history of the U.S. Senate. Are you with me?
Yes.
The true commitment of every Republican and every Democrat right now will be known. And do remember, on the defund Planned Parenthood vote that occurred last July, exactly 1 year ago, it failed by a 49-51 in the Senate. Why? Because John McCain cast the deciding vote, the no vote, as he will once more for the Trump appointee. You know that he's gonna go the wrong direction on this, as did Lisa Murkowski from Alaska and Collins.
Collins from Maine, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you can count on them to vote liberal.
We have at least three wicked Republican senators that will not go for a pro-life justice who has anything of a pro-life record. I think that's a given, given the vote on defunding Planned Parenthood last year, and of course the year before that and the year before that. The U.S. Senate hasn't done the right thing when it comes to abortion. It doesn't do the right thing when it comes to abortion.
Yeah, and you would think that with that being part of the platform of the Republican Party, you would think that they would vote for that, or even just the fact that it has to deal with innocent life, you would think that they would vote against the taking of innocent life. But they believe that a woman's body and a woman's right to choose, which is just such a joke anyway. That's not what this is about. It's about the taking of innocent life.
There's a massive separation in values right now facing the nation. I think there is a possibility for a reversal of Roe v. Wade, which only means that it reverts back to the individual states, and the individual states will be able to make a call for themselves as to whether or not there will be the slaughter of innocent life in certain states around this country. I think we're moving towards a decentralization. So it would not surprise me whatsoever if we saw something of a reversal of Roe v. Wade, which would only revert the decisions of whether to kill innocent babies to the individual state legislatures and the individual state governors. And that, my friends, is, I believe, what's going to happen, at least to some extent. There will be something of a reversal of powers away from the federal government to the states. In fact, the Supreme Court of the United States has moved more towards states' rights on multiple votes. I haven't gone through all of them, but my guess is the majority of state rights decisions have moved in the direction of the individual states making those decisions versus the federal government or federal laws controlling individual states. So I have a feeling that we're going to see the decentralization of power, which means, again, a reversal of the Babel instinct. Again, God always brings Babels down. As we have seen the centralization of power in America through Roe v. Wade and through Obergefell and other decisions over the last 150 years since the Civil War, America has become the largest, most powerful government in the world, and it has controlled much of the world. Well, it turns out God is not in favor of centralizing much power anywhere at all. When man says, go to, let us build a tower and build a city and make a name for ourselves, God says, I'm not going to do that. Sorry, not today. And it seems like America is going to decentralize. That's the direction that is going to come about. And there will be something of a massive separation of values, which is happening in America right now. There's a massive separation of the waters, a massive separation between the Texases of the Union and the Californias of the Union. There is a massive separation of values going on right now. Now, I'm a little iffy as to whether John Roberts would reverse Roe v. Wade. Would he be able to stand against the principalities and powers, the demonic forces that work very hard on guys like Kennedy and Roberts? He buckled. It was Roberts who buckled on Obamacare two times. Will he buckled on the copay for contraceptives, which means way, way, way more kids slaughtered by the effects of abortifacients. So if he did that, will he buckle on the Roe v. Wade reversal? And my guess is he probably will. But one way or another, the future is always in God's hands. And abortion will be done with, even as eugenics came and went in the 1930s and 40s. So Jesus will bring more enemies under his footstool one by one. The land, I think, is wearied of the shedding of innocent blood. How many hundreds of millions of babies will be killed by Plan B pills and abortifacients before God finally pulls the plug on this nation? I don't know. I don't know, but I know there is a God in the heavens, and the mills of God grind slowly, but very fine. So keep that in mind as we see history played out. One thing we know for sure, God is completely sovereign, and he judges the nations. And the nations are called to repent because he holds them to tighter accounts, to which he held Sodom and Gomorrah and the old Gentile nations from the Old Testament era. And he calls all men everywhere now to repent because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he has appointed, whom he has raised from the dead. So Hebrews chapter 12 reminds us also that God shakes the world. And the reason he shakes the world is so that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. And you can expect that God will continue to shake the world. And some have said the 21st century is far more unstable and insecure than the 20th century in the unraveling of the nuclear family, the breaking down of all the socioeconomic systems of the entire Western world. That's already going on right now, so we're not saying anything prophetic here. We're just saying that this world, at least the Western world right now, is more unstable, is more insecure than it has ever been. That is, and the 21st century proves to be a century that will be far more unstable than the 20th century in which all those world wars happened. So we are facing an incredibly unstable age. God is shaking the world in order that that which cannot be shaken will remain. And that is the Christian church, which is committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, committed to the worship of the true and living God. We look up in the fear of God and the reverence of God and worship of God and trusting in God's salvation through the storms of the 21st century. One thing I do know, and that is the Church of Jesus Christ will remain because Jesus is head over all things to the church. Well, friends, as we wrap up this edition of the Generations broadcast, I encourage you to our new history of the United States. It's called America in God's Providence. It's covering 500 years of this nation's rise and fall. And you can read the whole saga of this unique country in the history of the world, and a country that has been uniquely blessed by God and by the influence of the Christian faith, and a nation that has turned against God big time since 1973. So check out America in God's Providence, a history of the saga, 500 years of a very important nation in the history of the world, America. America in God's Providence, available at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. Get your copy today at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn in studio, and we wish you a happy Independence Day 2018. And we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.